pay cut.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. You take bailout money, you may take a hit in your paycheck. President Barack Obama will drive that idea home in a speech coming up in about an hour and a half, or I should say about an hour, Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
President Obama wants to cap executive pay at $500,000 a year. Now, that may seem like a lot of money, but for corporate bigwigs, it's chump change. But don't expect them to be out on the street. Companies will have some leeway to supplement CEO salaries. Walter Gerasimovich of Metatron Asset Management says corporations may bend whatever rules they're given.
They will attempt to get around them with other forms of bonus plan or compensation that has not been included in the restrictions.
Some corporate types have said the new pay rules will discourage companies from accepting bailout money. But Gerasimovich says many firms are hurting and they'll have no choice in Washington. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Today's earnings roundup so far includes losses at Disney, Kraft, and Panasonic. Panasonic says it will lay off 15,000 people and close almost 30 factories worldwide. Later today, we'll hear how Philip Morris International is doing. Yesterday, the company teamed up with a Swedish manufacturer to market smokeless tobacco products. Philip Morris worries cigarette sales are about to go up in smoke. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch has more.
You might think the stress of a bad economy would lead more people to smoke, but that's not been the case.
Historically, in bad economic times, people actually smoked less.
That's Stanton Glantz. He's a professor of medicine at the University of California, San Francisco. During the Great Depression, smoking in the U.S. dropped by 20%. Glantz says we'll likely see a similar drop during the current recession.
People have less money to throw around, and the price keeps going up, and they want to quit anyway. All of those factors are going to pile up and help people quit smoking.
The economic stimulus bill going through the Senate initially included $75 million for smoking cessation programs, but Republicans criticized the funding and it was stripped out earlier this week. Glantz says studies have shown that anti-smoking programs quickly pay for themselves through lower health care costs. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
The Dow opened flat this morning. It's down just a point to 8,077. The NASDAQ is up 8 points, almost 0.6% to 1525. The S&P 500 up 3 points to 842, about 0.4% there. Shares in Europe remain higher, and a new report today shows Chinese manufacturing is hinting at a recovery that helped Asian markets close in positive territory. It's not easy to publicize a new business. Giving money away is one way to do it, though. New Yorkers are lining up at something being called the bailout booth. This is the second day an entrepreneur is handing out amounts ranging from $50 to $5,000. From Times Square, the bailout booth will go to D.C., Boston, and Philadelphia. The stunt's promoting a new website for classified ads. The idea is to post videos of things you want to sell or if you want a date. This is the Morning Report for Wednesday, February 4th on Marketplace.org. Investors are planning a multi-million dollar lawsuit over the collapse of Lehman Brothers. The target is the London-based bank, HSBC. The complaint is distributing Lehman-backed bonds. From London, here's Stephen Beard.
The lawsuit will straddle the globe. The plaintiffs are in Hong Kong, the defendants are in London, and the action is over the defunct American bank Lehman Brothers. Hundreds of millions of dollars are at stake. More than 40,000 people in Hong Kong bought Lehman-backed bonds, many of them from HSBC. The bonds are now worthless and the investors hold HSBC responsible. Peter Hahn is with the Cass Business School. He says HSBC is a good target. It's been largely unscathed by the financial crisis and has deep pockets. Hahn says regardless of the merits of this case, there's likely to be a wave of similar lawsuits.
What we've seen throughout the financial services industry of late is poorly researched acquisitions by banks, poorly researched investments made on behalf of clients by banks, and it's really open grounds for lawsuits.
HSBC says it'll vigorously contest the case. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Tom Daschle is out as the nominee to head Health and Human Services for the Obama administration. He withdrew yesterday in that hail of controversy over more than $100,000 in unpaid taxes. But as Tamara Keith reports, Daschle's nomination also raises questions about the president's new ethics rules.
Right after taking office, President Obama issued an executive order aimed at halting the revolving door, whereby appointees move freely between the executive branch and the ranks of lobbyists. And while Tom Daschle was getting most attention for skimping on taxes, Melanie Sloan, director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics, was more put off by his high-paid consulting work that appeared to be lobbying in all but name only.
Lobbyist has a very narrow definition, and Mr. Daschle didn't fit within that definition, and there are plenty of folks who will both come to the administration who are like Mr. Daschle, technically not lobbyists, and then they'll go out and take jobs like Mr. Daschle has had.
Fred Wertheimer, the president of Democracy 21, another Washington good government group, describes the new ethics rules as groundbreaking. Still,
the bottom line here is lobbying is going to continue in Washington for as long as government continues in Washington.
Two other Obama appointees recently worked as registered lobbyists. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
Time for stimulus talk. The Senate continues its debate over the $900 billion package. Congressional leaders are trying to have a bill ready for the president's signature before they leave for the President's Day recess at the end of next week. Once the money starts flowing, who gets stimulated first? John Dimsdale has that from Washington.
The first Americans to notice the government has come to their rescue will be those on the low end of the income scale.
I think the first impact would be from spending on food stamps and unemployment compensation.
Lawrence Meyer is a forecaster with Macroeconomic Advisors. He says recipients tend to spend social safety net money right away.
That spending becomes somebody else's income, they spend a portion of it, and that continues, and the total effect on GDP is about $1.50 for a dollar of spending.
Meyer says the next money to kick in will be federal payments to state and local governments.
They're probably about to lay off workers or raise taxes. They're not going to have to do that. So a dollar of that aid to state and local governments can also be relatively quick and have a high multiplier.
Within weeks after the stimulus package becomes law, most American workers will see fatter paychecks as employers withhold less, as much as $70 a month. Len Berman with the Tax Policy Center says economists think a steady stream of money is better than one big rebate.
There's evidence from behavioral economics that if people get money in little increments, that they treat that more like income to be spent.
Meanwhile, businesses that have recently lost income will be able to count those losses against profits over the last 5 years. They'll be able to file for tax rebates right away without waiting for tax season. But Berman says there's no guarantee those business tax breaks translate into new jobs.
If you raise companies' after-tax incomes, they can hire more workers, they can do more investment. Those would both be good things. They could pay their executives more money, they could pay out more to shareholders, they could put the money in the bank. Those latter things do nothing to stimulate the economy.
And finally, nearly $300 billion in public works funding should start creating construction jobs, but the Congressional Budget Office says that part of the stimulus package will take the longest, 8 years in some cases. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
I'm sure you've thought about this as we talk about it every day. What would the perfect stimulus package look like in your mind? Republicans and some Democrats want more tax cuts and less spending. It's a popular position because tax cuts are pretty popular. Plus, a lot of people think they know how to spend their money better than the government does. But commentator Robert Reich says the focus needs to be on the best way to get the economy moving.
Most economists agree that government spending has a bigger stimulative bang than do tax cuts. According to calculations by Mark Zandi of Economy.com, each dollar of spending generates about a dollar and a half of stimulus, while a dollar of tax cuts generates far less. There are three reasons for this. First, most people who receive a tax cut don't spend all of it. They use part of it to pay down their debts, or they save it. Most of us did one or the other last spring with that tax rebate. Now, from the standpoint of any particular individual, paying down debts or saving may be smart behavior, even commendable. But what's intelligent for an individual does not necessarily translate into what's good for the economy as a whole. The only way to create or preserve jobs is through additional spending. And unlike tax cuts used to pay down personal debt or add to savings, every dollar of government spending flows directly into the economy and adds to overall demand. Second, even that portion of a tax cut we might actually spend doesn't necessarily go into the American economy. It goes all over the world. Now, I have nothing against creating or preserving the jobs of Asians who assemble those flat panel TVs you see at the mall, for example, but right now we're trying to create or preserve jobs here in America. By contrast, when government spends to repair a highway or build a school or help pay for medical services, the money and the jobs stay here in America. Finally, those who say cutting taxes on businesses is the best way to create or preserve jobs forget about the demand side. Even with a tax cut, businesses won't hire workers unless there are customers to buy what those workers produce. A government stimulus that creates jobs is a necessary precondition. This isn't a matter of more or less government. It's just economics. When consumers and businesses can't or won't spend enough to keep the economy going, government has to be the spender of last resort.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. His most recent book is Supercapitalism. Your turn to weigh in is waiting for you at marketplace.org. Whatever the stimulus looks like, it's going to cost money. The Treasury just announced it's bringing back the 7-year note. The last time the government needed to auction 7-year notes was in 1993. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Thanks for listening. Have a good Wednesday. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.